Freestyle Travel. That's the name of the show. I'm your host, Kenny Flannery, as always, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Itzy Weinstock, one of the two co-founders of Couchers.org. Their tagline is, like couch surfing, but better. So that kind of just sums up what it is. It's a couch surfing alternative sort of site that popped up right after couch surfing decided to do that horrible paywall idea, and they just implemented that so poorly. Obviously, a lot of people got upset. A lot of people started flooding over to TrustRoots, which I liked to see at the time because TrustRoots, I was already starting to use that quite a bit. And yeah, these guys decided to kind of start up their own version of couch surfing and kind of go feature for feature with them and sort of just be a new place to replace it. I saw it pop up initially that summer. I think it was the summer of 2020 when Couchsurfing decided to put up this terrible paywall. And when I first saw it pop up, I was like, oh, okay, there's one more site. Didn't pay too much attention to it. I was aware of it. I was kind of hoping that a lot of people would start flooding into TrustRoots just so that would be more popular and easier to find hosts and things like that. But about a month ago or a little less, popped up on my feed, Couchers, they had become a nonprofit and gotten the 501c3 nonprofit status. I think I got all those numbers and letters right, which is exactly what Couchsurfing was trying to do back in 2008 when I was volunteering for them, and they were never really able to achieve that nonprofit status. So just seeing that made me more curious, so I actually got on there, realized I hadn't created an account yet, so did that, started poking around the site, checking it out, and yeah, it looks pretty good. And there's you know, not nearly as many members as there were on Couchsurfing or TrustRoots yet, but there's a lot of people on there. Just like looking at New York City, there seemed like plenty of hosts to choose from. So there's I wouldn't call it totally critical mass yet, but it's looking pretty good from a numbers point of view. And just the website itself, like, looks pretty slick, looks pretty nice. And while TrustRoots is kind of like, you know, they're doing their own thing, sort of. They got a different angle to the hospitality network site idea. I still really like it, but Couchers is just straight up trying to replicate couch surfing, like feature for feature. They want to bring back the hangouts and groups and events. Events are there right now, which I think is really important just to get people in. Not especially, but definitely the bigger cities, get people hanging out and talking about it and kind of bringing people on board to the hospitality idea. So they've got that going. They still got a long ways to go to get all the features up and running, but I can tell from talking to them that the momentum is there. So yeah, I was excited to see it and got in touch and was able, just conveniently, I was going to be in New York, and that's where Itzy lives. And I was just there for 2 days, so it was kind of perfect. Jumped in there, and I stayed at my brother's place in Manhattan. So while he was at work, I used his apartment as a podcast studio. And yeah, got Itzy in there to talk about it. And we do talk about the nonprofit thing. I'm not sure if we explicitly just said, like, kind of how important it is, because they can just never, you know, really sell out the way that Couchsurfing did. So if they can reach some critical mass, it's kind of nice to know that for sure they can actually legally accept donations and yeah, not sell out and hopefully stay free forever. So really cool. I like to see all these sites popping up, get back to the heyday of what Couchsurfing used to be. And whether that's Couchers or TrustRoots or both or Be Welcome or Warm Showers, the more of these sites that are doing well, as long as they're not like fracturing the amount of, you know, the people that are surfing and whatnot, pretty good. I suggested some ways that they can maybe collaborate, so I don't know if that'll go on. It sounds like there's some interest. It would be kind of cool to, no matter where you're, you know, what website you use, you're kind of maybe on all of them at once. I've got some ideas for that. But really interesting. A lot of excitement on his end, which got me excited. So there's that. After talking to him, I will catch you guys up on my travels. If you listened to the last episode where I talked to my friend Matt Stove, I was staying with him in Vermont, prolific hitchhiker for years, and now he's in a really good spot in Vermont helping out travelers. Listen to that if you haven't already. But yeah, I'll catch you up on the rest of how Vermont went and the writing and how I wound up in New York and how I'm now back in Vegas and have already made, I haven't even been here for 24 hours and have already made some critical mistakes. And it's going to be an interesting little time here. But there's all kinds of stuff going on. I'll catch you up on that. But let us jump right in and meet Itzy and talk about couchers.org. It's pretty cool. Let's go. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going to be like a year-long thing or a couple years, but the years have gone by and it's just been fun. So
it's the way to do it. Yeah,
yeah, never stop. So we're actually recording already. So
okay,
we're good to go. So what's your story? You obviously must have traveled to start a site like Couchers.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I should start by introducing myself.
Yeah.
So I'm my name's Itzy Weinstock. I'm one of the co-founders of Couchers.org. So what Couchers.org is a non-profit alternative to couchsurfing. We saw some problems with couchsurfing, and so we decided to kind of find the best things about all these couchsurfing platforms, combine them together under a non-profit umbrella. That's the basic idea, and we want to become the next dominant platform is the idea.
Awesome, yeah. Couchsurfing, they tried to do the nonprofit thing, and I think they kind of told people they were a nonprofit for a while.
Back in the day, like 2011 or something.
But they never quite got that status. Did you have to jump through quite a bit of hoops to get that?
So last year we started the filings for the 501c3, and that was successful. We were very fortunate because we've been able to attract a lot of really great people onto the Couchers team. So we had some people, Dale Woodard and Paul Roush, who were able to do that filing for us. They had the experience in that kind of area and they were able to do that. So it wasn't, they put in the effort, but we didn't meet too much resistance in doing that.
Oh, wow. I wonder how you had such an easy time and they had such a difficult time.
I think there are many things to it. Also, changing the place where we did it, it's obviously a decade apart, so.
Yeah, that's true. They were really digging into it like 2008.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, I think when you look at their Wikipedia page, they said like back in 2005, whenever they started, they planned to do that.
Gotcha.
But then they took obviously at a very different turn and went for profit instead in the face of not getting that.
Yeah, which it got ugly.
I think to a lot of people seems like a bizarre decision to take. I mean, just because you're not 501c3 doesn't mean you can't be nonprofit.
Yeah, and the way they started charging people, just you can't even log in. It's just so bizarre.
Well, that's how this all started. Like, I was just scrolling on my phone one day in the middle of a lockdown, just trying to see, oh, is anything happening on Couchsurfing right now? Not that I was going to do anything. We're all locked down. I was just curious.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be the exact day that paywall went up.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what the hell is going on here? I think I'm sure you had much the same reaction.
Yeah, I remember it. Like the moment, like what? They get hacked or something? Like, what is going on here?
I know, bizarre. But yeah, when that happened, I reached out to my friend, Apelia Vorinen, who's the other co-founder of Couchers, and we were looking for a project to work on in various different spaces, and we went, okay, this is the one. We both loved couchsurfing.
Okay. You were already coders or developers, or what do you guys each bring to the table kind of that way?
Yeah, so we met during our master's degree at the University of Melbourne. We're both mathematicians, statisticians.
Okay.
I'm a data scientist by trade. Pelly is he's doing his PhD in mathematics, but he's also very, very competent software developer, and he has a lot of experience in that.
Okay.
But also we both had a lot of history in various community projects, community background organizations, and it was just so right up our alley. This thing happened and we went, well, this is...
And had you both been using Couchsurfing?
Yeah, well, I think I'll go back to your original question. Like,
we've
both been traveling a lot. So I, standard Australian background. Once you turn 18, you go, you go travel a bit. It's what we all do. So ever since then, around Southeast Asia, and then I started branching out more. And then... Really was one family trip I was on. Me and my brother were in Mexico, and I got a bit sick of him at one point. I'm like, I need to go do something else.
Yeah, go solo for a minute.
Yeah, 2017. I was like, what can I do? I heard of this couchsurfing thing. I was like, all right, I'll try that.
Cool.
And yeah, I ended up getting hosted by this this girl in Mexico, and then she took me to a birthday party with all of her friends, and it was like the best time ever. And
excellent.
You know, there's no other way to travel since then.
Oh yeah, it's the best. Yeah. Have you used Be Welcome or TrustRoots or any of the other sites?
I haven't actively had any experiences on there. I made accounts because, you know, obviously we wanted to do that due diligence when we started to see, okay, who else is trying to work in this kind of space. But no, I haven't really had any interactions on either of those.
Okay. Yeah. I've used TrustRoots quite a bit since they started. Yeah. And now when Couchsurfing shut down, it was kind of the only option. Yeah. Now there's you guys. I'd seen you pop up back then when Couchsurfing kind of shit the bed. but I hadn't signed up. And then I guess a few weeks ago, I saw the blog about the nonprofit status. Mm. I was like, oh, I'm going to give this another look. And I was like, oh, this is awesome now.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think the things that TrustRoots and Be Welcome do are, like, obviously they're awesome organizations with very similar aims to what we're doing. They're these community-based nonprofit things that are trying to do what they do. Like, we looked at those and we had to do we really want to, like, there are these ones that exist. But at the end of the day, we wanted something that had what we love from Couchsurfing. And those two, it's not that it's bad that they don't. They just don't. They have different directions. Like, TrustRoots was built for the hitchhiking community initially. And they had different incentives, different goals. Be Welcome. To me, I'm not sure, like, this, I shouldn't speak for them, but to me, it seems they suit much more that very, maybe ideological, maybe more hardcore crowd, we'd call them. That's like, it's the pure experience of hosting and surfing.
Yeah. And the website hasn't, as far as I could tell, updated a lot.
But they would say, like, you don't need more than that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Craigslist thing.
Exactly.
If it works, it works.
I use Craigslist, like, it's...
Yeah. And I haven't used Be Welcome too much. I've had an account since, I don't know, 2007 or 2008, something like that. But Couchsurfing was always just the sheer number of people initially. Yeah. And TrustRoots, it's starting to get there. And it looks like there's quite a few people on Couchers already.
Yeah.
Just looking at New York City, for example.
Yeah, I think there's like well over 100 in the city. I'm not sure if they're actively hosting or...
Yeah.
But, I've been able to meet up with some. It's been great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the other thing. With these couch surfing platforms, you need a critical mass in order to be successful. Yeah. You need people to go, okay, this is where I go to couch surf. And we are very conscious of that. Like, we bring on marketing professionals, like people from the couch surfing community. They're like, I really want to push this forward. Not in like that standard advertising kind of way that we would kind of propose, but it's like, we need to get our name out there. We need to make sure the couch surfing community knows about us. And at the end of the day, we need to make sure more people in the world are couch surfing.
Yeah.
In a sustainable way, we think we can bring more people into it sustainably in a way that doesn't compromise the community. Potentially, this is an area where... Well, I don't want to spend this time like digging too much on like what couch surfing did wrong. It's more like, what improvements can we see? Like, they were incentivized to get too many people onto their platform.
Right.
There's a money incentive for them because people pay at entrance, either for verification or now through the paywall. So they've got these incentives to get more people in the door.
And not necessarily quality people.
Is what we'd say, yeah.
Yeah. I think it kind of took a turn because it was on all these lists online. You'd see, like, free places to stay while you're traveling. Mm. And yes, Couchsurfing is a free place to stay, but that's, like, secondary, most people find out, to the interactions that you have with people.
Exactly.
So people started getting references, like, didn't have clean towels or whatever. It's like Airbnb-ish references. And it's like, that's not what it's supposed to be.
No. And this is feedback we just get so often. It's just, so many hosts have been turned away just because it just felt like they were getting walked all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, these hosts, these community organizers, these community leaders, they're really the backbone. And if this group of people is being turned away, then the couch surfing community no longer becomes sustainable.
Yeah.
That's how we view it. It's one big couch surfing community with various different platforms. The main ones being couchsurfing.com and the other main one being Facebook, actually, or even WhatsApp groups, right?
Yeah, true.
And really, we want to, if we can create a platform that incentivizes better behavior that can improve this community, then that's really what we want to be doing.
what sort of strategies or
things
can you implement to stop that, stop the bad behavior, encourage the good behavior?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something we've thought a lot about. These two kind of ideas that we came up with, they came from two kind of analyses of what was going on. The first being, why is it that people feel... well, I should probably say first that, like, the biggest issue, more important than the freeloader issue, is the safety issue.
Right.
Especially for women.
Yeah.
Right, that's the... I think they have the same kind of root causes, but if we address the safety one, I think we get the benefits of a better kind of person coming to the platform as well that isn't a freeloader.
Yeah.
So when it comes to safety, the question is, okay, we have references.
Right.
Why is it that people feel unsafe? Why are bad things still occurring? Like, you think, okay, references is a good way to approach the situation, right? If something bad happens to you, you write that. And then that communicates. Yeah. But you're right. Like, this, for some reason, this hasn't worked. And what we think has gone on there is that people are disincentivized for writing the negative references.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't want to get a return negative reference is one reason.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's well, people might feel unsafe doing it because it's very public. They might feel that what happened to them wasn't bad enough to warrant striking someone because it's very public. It's a big deal. Like, if you see someone with a negative reference, that seems like a big deal because of how uncommon it is.
Yeah, and if you stay with someone and they have 30 positive references and something bad happens to you, you might be like, do I really want to ruin their whole thing because one thing wasn't that bad? Like, yeah.
Exactly. And then also, ones if you kind of have a 90% good experience and then maybe your host hits on you or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you say in that situation?
Yeah, especially something that could have been so subtle and nuanced. It's like, yes, they hit on you, but can you really prove it in a way, and how can you communicate it? And
yeah. So...
Yeah. So what do you do?
Yeah, and you still want to be grateful as well sometimes, right? Even if something bad has happened to you, you still want to be grateful you got to stay with someone who knows they have a good experience.
Yeah, 90% good, but they kind of gave you this vibe that, please sleep with me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not forcing you to, but it's still, like, weird.
I know, and, like, this is the thing. Like, most female friends I have that have used couch surfing used it exactly once because that exact thing happened to them.
Wow.
They would go, and there would be this, like, kind of presumption. Nothing explicitly happened where they felt forced, but there was kind of this presumption, and they felt like they should, and at the end of the day, they got turned away. And obviously, no one wants this to happen. Like, obviously, couch surfing doesn't want this to be happening.
Yeah. So what can you do from a technical or verbiage point of view? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a few things we can do there. The first one is that we can make sections of the review system anonymous. So when it comes to the actual, instead of thumbs up, thumbs down, which doesn't tell you that much, and it's very public, we have a anonymous side to the review system where it's just like a sliding scale of this was a bad experience, this was okay, this was good, or this person is a real asset to the community. And we think that as well, like, how can you actually say that? You want to say this person is fantastic. But that whole scale, and that's anonymous.
So that just goes to you, it's not shown to the person, the public, anybody.
Exactly. And then there's a second question. Did this person do anything to make you feel uncomfortable? So maybe you can have a good experience, but yeah, I felt a little uncomfortable. And again, that stays anonymous.
Yeah. What do you then do with that information?
Because it's not
always going to be black and white. And do you really want to be in the position of judging people with small amounts of data?
Exactly. Yeah. So what we believe is, rather than arbitrating, obviously in the cases where something definitely bad has happened, we want to arbitrate and kick people off the platform.
Well, yeah, it's clear cut.
But if someone says, yeah, I felt a bit uncomfortable, what do you do in that situation? So the idea that we came up with is, we just want people to be accountable for what they do. And we want other people to know that. So we devised this system called community standing. We haven't implemented it yet, but that's our plan. And we put that one of our solutions on the website. And the idea is, we take these kind of scores that we're given.
Yeah.
And we basically give you a score, 0 to 100, with we hope the mean is somewhere like 70 or 80. And if people have, you know, keep having great experiences, they'll go up 90 plus. If people still kind of find someone makes them uncomfortable, their score will go down.
Yeah. Is that a public-facing score?
Yes, the score itself is public-facing. And then the idea is, like, maybe you or I are kind of fine staying with whoever and we won't have much of a low threshold, and it's fine if someone's like a 60 whatever. I don't care. I know how to handle myself.
Yeah.
But for someone who's more safety conscious, like, okay, I'm going to have a higher bar. And what that does is allow people to be accountable and for people to make decisions based on that.
Yeah, because also one person's negative is another person's positive.
Exactly.
Like, someone will leave a negative reference, like, they were drinking a bunch of beer, and for someone else, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's not negative at all.
And that public set, that written review will still be public.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, we need that.
So what if people still know that they're going to bring your score down by anonymously rating you, but then obviously that person will see their score go down and they'll know the last person that stayed with them must have complained?
Great question. So we had to think about this, and lucky we come from a stats probability maths background.
Yeah.
There's this area we're very interested in called differential privacy, which is when you take something like a census, you can actually reverse engineer who the people are based on the data points. And so there's this whole field of statistics that's based on how do we inject randomness into our data to make things harder to work out what's going on. Now, we won't do anything necessarily that complicated, but there are these kind of ideas. Like, a basic thing you could do is every week we kind of add a random element to people's scores, and we only update the scores every week. So maybe if you're used to your score just randomly going up and down.
Okay.
And maybe so you won't be able to tell what impact that person has really had on you. Would be the idea.
Yeah. I would think you would still notice an impact. Like, if someone, like, just complained quite a bit about you and your score dropped 10, 20 points.
Oh, yeah. If they've left a public reference that complains about you, for sure. Like, that person was happy saying that in public.
Yeah.
But for the people that didn't want to leave something public, which I think is the vast majority of people, that will still get reflected. And you won't see... The idea is you won't see a jump so significant that you couldn't attribute it to that randomness.
Yeah.
But over time, if you can collect these negative experiences, then your position will be down.
Will it just be a number? Like, or will there be any way to peek into it and see, like...
So we've been thinking about this as well. It's initially, we just have this number, but one idea we're playing with is, say you're a solo female traveler, maybe you don't care about the aggregate score that everyone has given this person. Maybe you just want to see if you've got a male host, being like the critical example, what have other, like, female solo travelers, what is the lens of their lens? Like, what is the score purely attributed to them?
I gotcha.
In general, someone's an 80, but to women, they're a bit of a creep. And
they're
much
lower. It'd be nice to put in, like, what you kind of care about and what you don't care about.
Yeah.
Like, do you care about getting hit on? Do you care about the cleanliness, their timeliness? Like, because their score might have gone down because, you know, they said they were at their apartment and they weren't.
Yeah.
Or it might have gone down
because they're frustrating.
Hitting on a lot of people. But for different people, they have different tolerances.
Exactly.
Like, for me, I'd be like, all right, they're not there. That is frustrating, but I'll go and find a place to hang out.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So it'd be nice to see it through your lens, I guess, what you're saying. I'm not sure exactly how you accomplish that, but...
For the moment, you just say, according to my demographic.
Yeah.
What is that? But you're right. Like, this is also still very experimental, and it's great to get feedback on it. And, like, this is why we have this big community forum as well, where people share these ideas. So once we implement things, we can go, what is working? What isn't?
Yeah.
What do people really want to be seeing? How can we address more safety freeloader issues? I can talk about another solution to this problem we're trying to think of.
Yeah, definitely.
So the other major one we're thinking of is, how do we deal with verification? So I think people sometimes misconstrue verification as, like, some sort of measure of safety. It's not. It's a measure that says, is this person a real human being?
Yeah. Do they have access to mail at this address?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And the way a lot of sites, including Couchsurfing, do it is, like, you upload some information, you get some third party to verify it. We don't want to be using this approach. It's kind of dodgy to be uploading all your data everywhere to all these companies.
Yeah, and it's like a false, like, sense of verification. I don't
know. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know their name is their name. That doesn't really... But you see this big green check mark, and you might be like, oh, they're an amazing person, clearly.
Well, really to me, on Couchsurfing, if someone had the check mark, it just meant they paid for verification so they could message more people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because those two things were so coupled. So the way we want to think of verification, we think we can improve the process, but also use it as a kind of opportunity. So our basic idea goes like this. You've just started couch surfing. Sorry, you want to get into couch surfing.
Right.
And you're not verified, you don't have any references, but you read up how our system works and you're okay. The first thing we'll ask you to do is find a verified member on couches. You'll go up to them and say, hey, can you verify me? And you'll show them a document that has your face and name on it.
Okay.
And that person, you give them a QR code or something, and that person checks you off and says, yeah, this person is who they say they are. You then, maybe like that's your first step, and then maybe you go traveling somewhere else and you do the same process. You do this several times, essentially, with different documents.
Yeah.
It's important that the people that you verify don't know each other. And we can just run some like graph checking algorithms on this to make sure.
Right. Isn't that potentially more dodgy rather than sending you information? It's just like showing someone you just met, like here's...
I disagree. What are they going to do with it?
They could eyeball your address and come beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, they could. Maybe put a finger over your address or things.
Yeah.
It could be, but we feel that is safer than having all your information just in some database online.
Yeah.
That is a bigger risk, I believe.
Is that what Couchsurfing did? I know for a while, my friend, she verified people. She worked for Couchsurfing. I thought all she did was, like, they would mail you a code to make sure your address is your address, and then you type that paper code.
So there's several different ways of doing verification. You had, like, the phone verification, address verification. I'll actually have to double check whether Couchsurfing did all these, but I believe there was identity verification as well.
Okay.
I'll have to double check that, but I'm fairly sure there was. But
yeah. Yeah, another thing that a lot of people seem to kind of be polarized about is like the Facebook connections things. But in a way, that is kind of like verifying who someone is. Like if you can go and see their profile, and maybe it's still not public, but you can be like, all right, they have 1,000 friends.
Yeah, that can be. And a lot of people need that for that trust.
And it's sort of just this is definitely a real person, or most likely.
Yeah.
Very likely a real person.
Yeah, well, but what we need to stop is, we're hoping that having these several documents can do that. But yeah, we'll also have various ways to do the verification with mail, with phones, that as well. But like, one of the things that's cool about this approach, we think it's a pretty robust way to check identity against identification. But also, every new person that comes to Couches has to meet with a verified, trusted member of the community. And we can use that as a way to scale sustainably.
Yeah.
This person can also give you a rundown and say, hey, if you're here, this is not about dating, this is not about freeloading, this is the way that things should go, and this is a responsibility that people can take on in the community, just to give a brief explanation to how things works.
Yeah.
To the new people.
It could be, are you going to have ambassadors, anything like that, like Couchsurfing?
Yeah, so we have our community builder program. So that's what we're calling it for now. So the ambassador program we found kind of opaque and a bit anemic. The ambassadors didn't really have the powers necessary to properly moderate their communities.
Right.
What the approach we want to take is we want to distribute these powers wherever we can. This is going to be properly community run and led. So for now we have these community builders, which are people, we're still starting up communities in cities and countries.
Yeah.
All around the world. And these communities, they can have events, they have discussions. This will grow into more in the future. They can have all kinds of different pages, points of interest, guides that people can write for the local area, groups exist within these areas. And those are managed now by our community builders. And their job is just to kind of curate this initial stuff, get these events started, start seeing if people want to kind of move over to the platform as well. But in the future, these will become fully fledged community moderator positions. So we will give them the powers to, go in, change up other people's events, alter information that people have written, really be able to curate their local communities to stop this. I'm not sure how you had this experience on Couchsurfing. Sometimes all these kind of dodgy events would show up all the time.
I'm not sure if I saw like what kind of events do you mean?
I would see sometimes a lot of semi-commercial stuff or kind of spammy stuff or...
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a problem for everyone. Or maybe just depended where you were in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
But also just dealing with some of the, you know, the interpersonal conflicts come up.
Oh yeah,
in these communities.
Definitely in the groups, I would see like commercial stuff.
Yeah,
like local guides trying to drum up business and
yeah,
you know, which is kind of a gray area, but just kind of feels sleazy too.
It's like, well, yeah, it's not what we want.
Yeah,
I think. But rather than having to deal with all that centrally, it'd be great to give local moderators these powers to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, it'd be cool too if the meetings start coming back up, because that's one thing. I really like Trust Roots, but they don't really have a robust like meeting.
Mm.
They kind of have a way to do it, but not exactly.
Yeah.
But that's really what people will go to these meetings having never couch surfed before, and they'll be like, oh, this is awesome. Look at all these people. And as far as your verification thing, that'd be a great way to just go and meet a lot of people at once and exactly. Not be intimidated to like go meet one person. Just meet this group and be like, hey, someone want to verify me while I'm here?
Yeah. I mean, like these events are really like the... They can be, apart from like the actual hosting surfing, like the core of the community lives in these events.
Yeah.
And they're just fantastic. I mean, you're right. Anyone that goes to these is immediately...
Oh, yeah.
...won over.
And huge events happen. My buddy in Phoenix, Larry, he was an ambassador there, and he would throw these incredible events, not just like weekly meetups at a bar, but like, let's go hike down to Havasupai Falls in the Grand Canyon and like organize these big trips, or like, let's all go to the beach in Mexico and camp for a weekend.
Crazy stuff. It's yeah. Amazing.
Just dozens and dozens of happy travelers and locals all go, and well, I want that again.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It kind of stopped. Like,
well, like, yeah, it's partly the paywall, partly the pandemic, but...
Yeah, even before that, like, just the weekly events before the pandemic didn't seem... Like, some cities, like New York, I'm sure, like, probably held on to the end, but a lot of smaller cities, you'd be like, oh, there's no... It was cool to just, like, show up and, you know, at least somewhere in the week, there'd be people meeting at a bar or something.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, like, that's why we're building this. Yeah. It's because we want to personally see that again.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like you're trying to bring back the meetups, or hangouts rather, as well.
Yeah. So hangouts were a great innovation of Couchsurfing, I have to say. They were, well, people are divided on it. A lot of people from that joined Couchsurfing in the really early days, they're like, this is distracting from events. It makes things harder to organize. But I think by and large, people that have joined since have been like, this is just incredible. You can rock up any city in the world and just find someone to hang out with and do stuff with.
Oh, I met people who just weren't interested even in surfing. Like, they're like, I'll get an Airbnb, I don't care, I like my own space, I'll get a hotel or hostel, but they just use couch surfing for that feature.
Yeah.
Hangouts to go, meet up impromptu.
I mean, it was really, really fantastic. I mean, poorly implemented, I'm sure you've had your experiences.
Yeah, there's some quirks and goofiness to it.
It'd be great. I'd be like somewhere in China and like someone from Russia has joined your hangout and you're trying to organize way to meet and you're like, hold on a second, something is wrong here. But yeah, I think it was fantastic. Another big flaw of it was that women would often feel kind of harassment. There'd be a lot of guys that would just wait there waiting for women to show up and then...
Right.
They would just get bombarded when they start. So this is something we've been careful of. That being said, we want to build it.
Yeah.
Since the start, we've said, that this is a feature that looks kind of like that.
Yeah.
Is something we want to build, but we need to address some of those issues.
Some issues like that are just tricky. It's like...
They are, but you got to try. Like, to us, it's not... We don't ever want to put our hands up and say, this is too tricky. This is just a societal problem. We can't solve this. If there's some design we can use to kind of help this.
Yeah.
And like we have a women's working group that meets up once a month to kind of talk through issues and go, okay, what would we actually want to see that would improve this experience for us? And what can we recommend that can be built? Since the start, it's like, these are the kind of issues we need to see if we can. Like, and we can test, we can experiment. Some suggestions for hangouts are as simple as like limit the amount that you can join to like one or two at any given time. That was like a suggestion that was raised.
Oh, right.
It wasn't my favorite, but it was.
Yeah, it seems tricky.
Yeah.
I think the community score will come into play. If people know that by being creepy, they'll potentially immediately get their score rocked down. that could help.
This is the, that's why it'll be great. It'll allow people to make these decisions on their own.
Yeah.
I think we always veer that way. We always veer towards allow accessibility and choice as opposed to restriction.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, people can decide they just don't want to use it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to use the Hangouts if they feel like they're going to be vulnerable. Just don't use it.
Yeah. Another way we can address safety was, are you aware of the Facebook group Host Assistant?
Host Assistant?
Host Assister.
Host Assister. No.
It was a, it's a great Facebook group. I haven't been able to go into it, but enormously successful Facebook group, which is essentially Couchsurfing female only. And it really speaks to that. I think a lot of people are like, oh, women naturally don't want to be couchsurfing as much. And I think that's nonsense. Of course, there's not as many women using couchsurfing as men. But we think that's down to the design and community that has been curated. And I think that the existence of Host Assist, it has a huge, huge number of members. Like, should I look it up on my phone how many they've got?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Let's find it.
Yeah, I've always been curious when I meet people that are into, I don't know, jiu-jitsu or something, and like just these niche sort of hobbies that people have, and then somewhere there's a group just for them, just like jiu-jitsu people hosting jiu-jitsu people when they come to towns, and it's kind of cool.
Cause... Yeah. Well, this is 193,000 people in this Facebook group.
Oh, wow.
Just couchsurfing for women.
So because it's a group, did they just post, hey, is anyone in San Diego?
I think it's something like that. But to me, that just speaks to the fact that there needs to be an option like this. There needs to be more accessibility for women. We don't think it's acceptable that they've been sidelined on these platforms. Like one feature we are planning to build is there's a switch somewhere that says, I want a non-male experience to couchsurfing. If that makes it more accessible and gets more people in the door and opens it up to more people so that their experience is just like completely filtered.
I got you. So their profile is just only visible to other women?
Yeah, it would be like that. It would just be.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Just to have different filters altogether like that.
Exactly.
If you wanted. Like the community score just seems so interesting. I'm just curious how you'll actually like implement it in the end, what it's going to look like. And
it will be a work in progress. I'll say that from the start.
Have you begun working on it, or is it all still just figuring it out so far?
So the reference system has been built. It's in its kind of early iterations. So that when you state, you know what, I'll leave your reference after this. And you can kind of see how it works. So you do get given that sliding scale of how you rate someone. You are given that did this person make you feel uncomfortable? We're collecting that. We have that kind of raw
data. Is that a 1 through 10 kind of thing, or is it literally
it's a sliding scale with different emojis on it right now. We felt that was a good representation rather than its numbers. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
And is there a forward facing positive, neutral, negative, or anything like that? Nothing.
Not at the moment.
Just a text box.
Just the text. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Especially for people with not a lot of references, it's really easy just to like read 3 or 4 references and judge for yourself.
Exactly.
Is this positive or negative?
I think at the end of the day, that's what most people are going to be doing anyway. Like I always do. I kind of want to get a feel for the person I'm going to be staying with.
Yeah.
And I don't think to anyone a number will ever fully replace that. But I think it's an important indicator.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole rating system. In the beginning, Couchsurfing had like very positive, neutral, negative, very negative. And it's just like, I'd rather just write what happened and let other people decide.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of,
but
and they had their vouching system as well, which was...
Yeah. They got rid of that eventually.
Yeah, they did. But hopefully we'll be able to implicitly have something that's like, if someone's like fantastic, you should be able to say if someone's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because like there are these amazing people in the community that organize things and are just fun to be around. And
I will say I had multiple people over the years like kind of pressure me into giving them a vouch.
Oh yeah?
Because I think the way the system worked is once you had 3 vouches, you were able to then vouch for other people. So people would be like, I noticed you have all those vouches. You throw me a vouch when you throw me a positive reference. And like, you know, a lot of the times people deserved it, but it just, like, I don't know, always felt weird when you're, like, asking and kind of pressuring. Sometimes you have your phone right there. I noticed that with references, too. Only a couple people did this to me, but they're, like, they want you to leave a reference, like, while you're still there in their presence. Like, and it's kind of awkward. You're just like...
Yeah, I think, well, I'll have to double check. But, yeah, it's good that we need to think that through. Like, when these kind of situations come up, like, how do we think of solutions to that? Do we allow people to edit the reference after for, like, a few days? Do we only allow people to put in the reference well after we know the hosting is concluded?
Yeah, that can be a way to do it.
Things like that.
If they say they're staying with them for 3 days, then you send them an email a day or two after that.
Yeah.
What you'd want to do anyway is nudge them.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember?
We do the nudging. Like, I think it's 7 days, just after it's 7 days and 2 days, 12 days. Because it's that thing where it's like, if you both leave a reference, it becomes visible, or after 14 days, it will become visible.
Yeah. I noticed I'm not getting any email notifications for discussions. Is that supposed to be working, or is that just not a thing yet?
So that is currently in development. We have a new page on the site that allows you to see the feature previews. So if you turn those on, you'll start getting a few new notifications, because that's currently an area of focus
for the development. I did turn that on. I'm not sure if anything happened. Was it supposed to give me, like, Chrome notifications or actual email notifications?
That'll be sending you some email notifications now. So the discussions and event notifications, I believe the next thing to be worked on.
Okay.
That's feedback also we got from these community builders. It's like, it's hard to get people to go to events if they're not receiving these notifications. And we want people to know when, hey, there's a new event in your area, or someone's responded to your discussion.
Yeah, that'd be huge. Just to try it, I put something on the discussions in New York City, like, does anyone want to grab some beers? And then somebody responded, but I didn't see it until 2 days later. Yeah. And then I responded, I'm like, I'm here. And just, unless they go and check.
And the thing is, like, we got that feedback a lot. It got put on... if you go on our community discussion board, onto the community forum at community.couches.org, anyone can discuss anything.
Right.
Well, not as long as they're being respectful of everyone else.
Yeah.
And we listened to that, and everyone was like, we need these notifications. And so
for sure,
they're being built. That's how we do things.
So is it just the two of you doing the coding right now, or how many volunteers do you have helping?
So on our development team, we have quite a number. So I'm not actually actively involved in development, but we have a back-end development team, which is run by Apelli, the other co-founder, and there are several people that help him out on that team. We have our web development team, and that has 3 or 4 people currently active, potentially more. Some people... when they come to volunteer, they'll help out with a few hours every week or two. Other people are, like, committed and build a ton of stuff. Like Lucas Levin and Darren Vong are two of our real star web developers. So,
oh, awesome.
For instance, Darren built out all the stuff to do with events.
Yeah,
that was mostly him running that, and really we rely on these people in the community who really are passionate about it and can push these things forward, and they do a fantastic job. But no, this is not a 2-person operation.
Right,
this is a large, much larger than that, and we try to keep things quite organized where we can. So we have our backend team, we have a web development team. We're trying to grow a mobile team now to get those mobile apps out. We have people involved in community support, translations team that we've recently started.
Yeah. What's the timeline look like on the mobile, Android and iPhone?
That's a good question. This year, if there are, like, 2 main priorities, it would be increasing the user base substantially.
Yeah.
And getting that getting these mobile betas ready. Yeah. That's what we need to be doing this year, because We're a travel platform. You need mobile apps.
Yeah. And, like, at the end of the day, screw the email notifications. It should just be an Android notification. Yeah. Like, and obviously you need it for the Hangouts.
Yes.
So the Hangouts must be maybe next year kind of back burner for now then.
Well, Hangouts is interesting because you need enough people before it's even useful. We could build it now because people love it. But They're like, okay, let's say there's 150 people in New York who's actively on a Hangout at any given time.
Right.
Let's say it's 1% of your total user base.
Yeah, and that's New York City. If you're in Tulsa or something, exactly. Forget about it.
So, like, this is something we look at when we're at, like, 100,000 people. Currently, we're at a bit under 10,000, so.
Okay. Wow. Cool. Well, sounds like it's all coming together.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Yeah, we're... This year is really looking up for us.
Yeah.
Of course, we need to attract some more people in. We need to get our name more out there. But yeah, we're very, very confident that we become the next big platform.
Have you considered working with like someone like TrustRoots or anything like that? Like joining forces in a way, or sharing data?
We've discussed this a bit, I think. There are some people that are working on a kind of platform that can kind of unify all of these.
Right.
That's not our priority right now, but I think it's interesting that they're doing that. And if they can find a way to do that, that's cool. I think the more important ways that we can be sharing information, this was brought up, was, okay, if there's certain safety violations, we should be sharing that information.
Oh yeah.
Can we be allow people to just link profiles between each other? I think TrustRoots already has that built in. You can like put links to.
Yeah, it's just links, but
yeah,
something. You know, would be kind of nice just to, you know, if you're coming from Couchsurfing and have 100+ references, and then you got to like start fresh. It's like you are a person with a reputation. It'd be nice to transfer that over.
It is the number one thing that is requested from us is, yeah, can we port over our Couchsurfing references?
Yeah.
And
how do you do it?
it's a kind of hard problem, because what would stop me from starting up an account saying, I'm you?
Yeah.
And just taking that data and saying, this is me, right? You need some sort of way to verify that that person actually did it. And that is hard without Couchsurfing's cooperation, and
yeah,
they are not willing to cooperate with us.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean,
well, we haven't asked, but we know they are not friendly towards us, let's say that.
Yeah. Have you had any communication with those guys?
We haven't had any actual communication. What they did is we have our team page.
Yeah.
At couches.org/team, and we noticed that at a certain time, many people on that page became suspended from Couchsurfing.
Oh, wow.
that's what I'll say.
That is suspicious.
Even though many had not logged on to the system. And a lot of people, some people involved with us are like ambassadors, and this was a huge, huge thing for them.
Yeah.
And they received no real feedback from Couchsurfing as to why they were suspended, and this was, you know, very emotional,
yeah,
for a lot of people as well.
Yeah, people have invested a decade of their time potentially in Couchsurfing and then erased without notice,
yeah,
explanation.
So that's, I don't want to accuse anyone of anything, but that's the
right, yeah, seems that is what happened. The only thing I could think of as far as the verification thing is maybe you could, if people still have access to their profiles, you could tell them to put a little code in their profile in their About Me section for a day or something
like that. But if you mention Couches, if you mention any of so many things, you'll get suspended now. Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. And we don't want to do anything that in a way that violates their terms of service.
That's, right.
Yeah. We're of course careful about how we deal with them, and
yeah, that would be bad if you were suggesting people do something and all it does is lead to the deletion of their Couchsurfing profile. Yeah, over the past year and a half, sometimes I'll go to Couchsurfing and I'll just hope that paywall isn't there and they've changed their ways. But I'm happy to move on and keep using TrustRoots and Couchers, and
yeah, I think
about it that way.
That's the way to do it. I mean, it's fully possible that they decide to change their mind, they realize it was a mistake, they do that, but I don't know. I don't know how much money they'd be making out of this.
Yeah.
I don't know the incentives that they're following.
There's a lot of theories out there, but I don't know.
they'll do what they'll do. And we just need to, like one of the focuses I think we should have is that whether they like it or not, they have fragmented the Couchsurf community by doing that. And our priority is let's find a new home for everyone to, yeah. Because if you leave things too long, things are just going to wither and die. Like these communities, if there's not something regular, they will dissolve.
Yeah.
People are
which is why I think putting the events in there is probably a really good idea.
Yeah. That's what we wanted to lead with.
Early. Yeah.
It's like, the first group of users we want on are these community leaders, these people that really understand the essence of what we want to do. We can't just be wholesale and getting people onto the platform because then we'll end up with these cultural issues.
Yeah.
We need this first group of people to really understand what it is that, you know, you and I feel about the Couchsurfing community, this whole non-transactional experiences that, you know, to make sure people know that this isn't for dating,
yeah.
To make them feel like, yeah, this community is going to really be the backbone of what we do. And so we really wanted to lead with that. And that's why we started with these features. And we can bring those fantastic people on, and also people that know the goal of what we're trying to do and can help us.
Yeah.
Which is what they're doing. I mean, you can go on this app now and there's people starting up events. They're talking to their friends about it.
Yeah, there were quite a few events on there. It was kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
So it looked like some Zoom events and things like that too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I should say to your listeners, we've got two weekly social events. You can just log on, chat to other people, they're online, they're on Zoom. Huh. If you make a Couchsurf account, it will appear on your dashboard. They're just the weekly social events.
Right. Yeah, it's right when you log in. Yeah. It's like, see all that.
Yeah, we got them in two different time zones, so there's always something for everyone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, anything else you wanted to mention about the site or anything else before we wrap it up?
No, just everyone should make an account, check it out, tell their friends. It's just fantastic. I don't know. I've just loved the experience, and the amount of the people we have coming to work on it are just incredible.
That's cool. Amazing. People are coming in just eager to help.
And they're so motivated, and it's attracted the kind of people that just love to work on cool stuff and really build things that are useful, not only to them, but to they can see the value that it has to everyone else in the world. That's been the main experience for me, just working with awesome people to build something that's really cool.
Yeah.
And that, I think that at the end of the day, that's why we're going to end up succeeding, is because...
Yeah, you're recapturing that magic with the people that are most into it.
Yeah.
And modernizing it, sounds like, with more creative solutions to the classic problems.
Exactly.
It's cool. All right. Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. You did a good chat.
Wrap it up there. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah?
I'm stoked.
I should probably ask, have you used Couchsurf at all?
I only just created my account whenever I did, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I haven't had to, I'm staying at my brother's here. So
okay. Yeah.
I haven't had to use it yet, but I tried to get on there. I created an event. I'm going to be in Vegas next week. So.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. Yeah.
Okay. Baker Brewery. I just posted it on there to see if anyone will show up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go there either way. I tried out the discussion thing here in New York. But other than that, I haven't stayed with anyone quite yet.
Well, I should say, like, the best way to help out is just, you know, hosting and surfing. And
So that's what I figured I'd start doing, just getting on there. And I do the same thing with TrustRoots. Like, so you haven't really used TrustRoots, I guess, that much? Or
no, not myself. No.
So it's got the similar map interface that you guys got.
Yeah.
But then you can add these blue dots as well, and those are like meetups. That's their kind of version of events. It's not very...
Have you been to any successful ones?
To any? No.
Okay.
There's not a lot of them posted. And sometimes people just post like looking for a couch. Like, it is kind of cool if it was there's more people using it.
Yeah.
But I'll post it all the time just so there are dots on there.
Yeah.
Just because I want it to work. I want Couchers to be successful. I want TrustRoots to be successful. I just want couch surfing, the concept, to be successful.
Exactly. I think that's what everyone feels. So, and their success is our success as well. We definitely feel that.
Yeah, so I feel like posting more events, posting more discussions, even if I don't really need to, just like populates the site and makes it seem like there's things happening.
One thing we encourage is if you make an event on one thing, cross-post it around the other platforms as well. Put it on Facebook, put it everywhere. I mean,
yeah,
I think...
I did that with the Vegas thing the next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust Roots is on Couchers. I think not on Couchsurfing because I can't get on there anymore.
But, I think it's refreshing to people as well because... Couchsurfing has been quite explicit in that you shouldn't cross-post things elsewhere. They say it's a safety issue. They also banned online events. You can't post a Zoom link.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We've got an article. If you go to the end of our blog, we've got an article about that.
Wow, fucking haters over there, man.
Yeah.
I almost ended up working for them full time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They used to do these collectives. It was really cool. Yeah. They'd rent out a house in like New Zealand or Montreal, or in the case that I went to, Homer, Alaska. And they would rent out a house and they'd have kind of their core group and then volunteers that would come for 2 weeks, 2 months. And so I went to one of those and just helped with some coding and stuff and almost ended up working for them full time.
What stopped you?
I just started traveling like a year or two ago and I'm like, I'm not going to stop ever at this point.
there's a really interesting news article that was written by... Andrew Fedorov called Paradise Lost, The Rise and Fall of Couchsurfing.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you saw it. It was...
I might have. I've read a bunch of different like...
Yeah. It came out a few months ago. He actually lives in New York and I got the chance to surf with him when I arrived here.
Oh, nice.
Really, really interesting guy who's really knowledgeable about this topic. But yeah, he talks about a lot of the stuff that went on the collectives and...
Oh, yeah, man. It was fucking chaos.
Yeah. I highly recommend reading this article.
Yeah, I wonder how much he captured. Some of those people are still my friends to this day. This one guy, Walter Heck, he was part of the original Push. He's one of my best friends now. I met him there, and me, him, and this girl, Mandy, all hitchhiked to Vancouver from Alaska. Epic trip.
Amazing.
Three of us. Yeah. So cool. But yeah, even then, it was getting weird. Like, so they bought a house in Berkeley, like an old frat house. So it's like a pretty big house, and it was going to be where everyone was going to work and live. The same time. So that's where I would have lived had I joined on. But I could already see there was people dropping out, like issues with what was going on altogether. And then it just got worse and worse and worse to the point I don't even know anyone who works there anymore.
That's a shame.
And when I, like Rachel, she was in charge of the safety team. I think she was the last like kind of original person to stay on there. And she's like, yeah, some people who work here have like never surfed or hosted.
Well, it was the case with a lot of the some of the management would come on, I believe, without having surfed before. So
It's like, I don't know, you gotta kind of use your own product, you think a little bit to understand somewhat what's going on.
That's the way things went. And you know, it's I think to a lot of people the paywall was really just the last tipping point, but for a lot of people over the years have been dropping off as well due to various different problems. And I think we believe that if a good viable alternative would have existed even years ago, people would have started moving to that.
I think Trust Roots fucked up because they didn't have references until like recently.
Well, I read like what some of the, of course I can't speak for what everyone thinks there, but I read some arguments from them, which was like from some of their members, which is like, this is for hitchhikers. When you are hitchhiking, do you ask for a reference from the person you jump in the car? No.
Right.
Like they believe in a much more radical version of trust, which, which, you know, but that's their demographic.
Yeah. Right? And now they've implemented the references. I think they realized they kind of had to.
I think it's necessary for huge areas of the population to.
Yeah. And it's not just, it's not just trust, it's a proof of activity. You know what I mean? Like on couch surfing, I would even just make sure people had references just to see that they were actually actively
worth sending
posting.
Message.
Yeah. Like, because I wasn't the type of person to send out like 10 or even 4 messages. I would send like 1 or 2 or sometimes none if no one looked interesting. It's like, I'll go camp somewhere. I don't care. But
I think that's the way to do it.
But yeah, I wouldn't send a message to someone who hasn't logged in 8 months and has no references. Like, what's the point? Like, so you want some sort of sense that, they're active, doing something.
I guess there's I don't know if you want to keep chatting, but there's like another topic we can
jump into it.
That's kind of related to this. We talk about this idea called the I was just thinking it was kind of related to this. We have this idea called the superhost effect, which is you would get to places, and although there looks like there's a bunch of people who are active, it would be sometimes hard to find these people that looked active and interesting, and we're like, why is this? And this was spurred because I went to New Zealand in early 2020, just before the pandemic started, and this is a country that's full of, you know, young travelers. Yeah. You think this is going to be a hotspot for couch surfing in the South Line. It was dead. It was crazy dead.
What year was this?
2020.
2020. Oh,
okay. Right at the start, before the pandemic. I'm like, how the hell is this the case? And you kind of go on and be, in each city, there'd be like one or two main hosts. Huh. And usually it'd be some guy, and all the references were like young, attractive women.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay, what is going on here? And you kind of jump to some conclusions. But I think, well, sometimes it would just be one major host in the area.
Right.
And what I think was going on was you had this effect where, because people got limited to 10 messages a week unless they paid for the verification, right? So people would go to these cities and they'd be like, okay, the messages I can send are a constrained resource.
Right.
What is the best way I can get a place? I need to find the most active person. I need to send them a message and see if they can host me.
And then they just get inundated.
To a couple other people. And so then you got this kind of centralization, this thinning down of the host population in a lot of different areas, to the point where suddenly you just end up with one or two people. And often some of these people that were using the platform for the wrong reasons would end up in these situations because they'd be happy to host any of the women that came along. And then all the guys would message them as well and waste their messages on them, even though they weren't going to host them.
No, I've definitely had that where I'm like, oh, nice. I've read someone's whole profile. I'm like, this person sounds fucking awesome. And then I go to I'm like, 20 references? All right, that's legit. And then I'm just like, all right, Kelly, Stacy, Kim, Lisa, fuck.
Not a single one over 25. And you're like,
okay. Yeah, I'm like, all right. You can see what's going on. See what they're doing. Damn it.
But this would happen. And like, it's not... Like, you can think about what this does to the communities. It's just like some people that really want to be hosting, they start getting nothing.
Yeah.
And it just thins it out and slowly people leave. And I think that's kind of what I saw in New Zealand.
Hmm. So what would you do? Would you float them to the top and
You need
sort of accentuate that they are active? Like,
first thing is you don't have these message caps.
Message caps are, I mean... Obviously, you got to have something in the back end if people are just spamming the shit out of
people. Of course, there's like better ways to deal with the copy-paste kind of situation.
But no, like capping the messages could be a problem.
Yeah, people shouldn't feel that they're constrained.
Yeah.
They should say, if there's like five cool people, maybe you do want to message five cool people. Maybe you stay with one, maybe you hang out with the other ones. Because sometimes that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often they all know each other anyway and you'll go hang out and whatever. The other one is, the way you list hosts. You shouldn't just put the people with the most references at the top. That's not the way. There should be some sort of randomization. There should be, there's a bunch of things you can do. You want to spread that out. You want to make sure it's better for a community to have more people that are hosting half as much as they want than some people that are hosting all the time and everyone else not.
Yeah, you should, and float the new people kind of to the top.
Yes.
And then you could really get into it and start matching interests or whatever and just
running
things and kind of guess who that person's gonna most get along with anyways.
Yeah, we were kind of floating this idea. How can you give people the best experience based on the knowledge we have, these kind of recommendation systems. That's a long way off and it's questionable whether we'll ever do that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you can do.
Yeah. Tricky with interests and different things. Mm. One thing that TrustRoots does that's cool is there's these tribes you can join, which don't really do much. It's almost like listing an interest.
Yeah.
But you can filter out, you can look at the map and then just look at people who brew beer. Like that's one of their tribes, like beer brewers, which is cool because I like to, sometimes I'll just do it and I'll just look at the map because there's not a ton of members on TrustRoots. I mean, there's quite a bit, but there's a small enough amount where I can look at the United States and see like the 8 or 9 beer brewers. And I'm like, I got no plan to go to Florida, but this person looks pretty cool. Like,
well, that's the great thing about a map as well, because you can alter what you'll be doing based on like what you can see. You can be like, okay, maybe I should just go in this direction if I can message this person and
hang out. Oh, yeah. Oh, two suggestions I would make for what you have on the map right now.
Mm-hmm.
One, I would get rid of like can host and may host because it's the same thing.
You reckon?
Yeah, because no one can host all the time.
That's true.
Everyone's a may host. It's just confusing. But also if you try to filter if I just try to look at the people that can host, it forces me to punch in a city.
Okay, yeah.
And I'd like to just
see the whole world.
Filter can host and see everybody like at once. Especially if you're in a country where you haven't really, you're not really familiar with what the cities are.
Yeah, that's true.
It's nice to just like see the people that can host along the way.
Okay.
Like out in the countryside, you're like, oh, yeah, that's on my way, or I can go out of my way and see that person. Be kind of cool.
That is cool. I think, and then this brings up another point, is like, how do we get this feedback from users? I think people are pretty used to not having that dialogue between the platform and their experience. So one way, we have our community forum at community.couches.org, which is like, you can bring up anything you want, people discuss it and come to conclusions. But also, every single person, when they sign up, we get feedback from.
Oh, nice.
And then further than that, we want to be making sure we build these feedback channels. So like, maybe you don't want, like, not everyone wants to post in a forum. There's kind of like the Reddit effect, right? Where only like 5% of people are actually writing anything and everyone else is just reading.
Yeah.
So we're very conscious of like, how do we get, what would be the best way for you to give us that feedback as well?
Yeah.
Apart from me coming on podcast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe like after they've, you know, a week or 2 weeks or whatever, a month after they've created an account, just have a text box and a send button right on the dashboard. Just like, what are you thought so far? Yeah. You'll get some people ignore it. Some people write a sentence. Some people give you a goddamn novel. Could be an easy thing.
It's
something.
Yeah, and we've got our UX team as well, the user experience team, and they've done that in the past. They've sat down with people and kind of worked through the entire pain points of everything in the system, and that'll continue to happen.
Cool. It's just going to get better and better.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Cool. Yeah. Again, good to meet you.
Yeah. Fantastic to meet you.
Yeah. It's good to feel the energy that there is something behind it.
Oh, and there is. There is. Yeah.
All righty. Thanks again to Itzy for talking to me about Couchers. I'm glad that synced up so perfectly. Literally, I rediscovered the site. Got in touch, mentioned the podcast, and just happened he was in New York. So it was a good thing I was there for like 48 hours or something. We were able to connect. So glad we got to talk about all that. I'm excited to see how it grows, how it keeps on going. And yeah, hopefully the heyday will return. One of the cool things about couch surfing, besides just being able to find a host in basically any city and almost any little like town, on the planet, was the events that would happen in some of the bigger to medium-sized cities. It was always cool. Like, even if I already had a friend to stay with, or if I was already had a host, it was kind of cool to know that if I hit the right day of the week, like I remember in New York, it used to be every Wednesday, there'd be a big meetup where dozens, if not over 100, couch surfers would meet up, both local hosts and surfers. And even the smaller places, you know, there'd still be 5 or 20 people and just meeting up, grabbing some beers and talking. And that was really cool. And sometimes you'd even find a host, you know. I remember showing up to Pizza Port Brewery in San Diego, traveling with a girlfriend, and I don't think we even knew we were going to go to San Diego until we sort of started hitchhiking and found our way there. But I looked it up and there was a meeting that night, so we went to that brewery and, of course, like made some friends, and one of those people let us crash for the night, so... bonus to have good night, good friends, and then a place to sleep too. So I hope the events alone on Couchers, I hope that starts kicking off pretty good. We shall see. Last episode, a week or three ago, whatever it was, staying with Matt in Vermont, getting some writing done. I chipped away quite a bit at this screenplay. And I'm hoping to get some more done now. So... of all the Vegas shenanigans you've heard the last couple few episodes and over the years, they offered me a free cruise. They said if I came the first week of February and stayed for free for 5 nights at one of these various hotels, that I could get a free cruise, 7-day cruise on Norwegian. So I'm like, all right. And I like, you know, tried to read all the fine print. It seems legit. So I'm like, I might as well do that. So I found a $40 flight from, $46 Spirit flight from New York City to Vegas to get there in time to take advantage of the deal. Matt very graciously gave me a ride south from Vermont, so got me down to the city basically, and yeah, just had 2 days in the city to kick it. So stayed at my brother's one night, caught up with him, caught up with my buddy Mark. He's been on the podcast before. Old friend, hit a bunch of breweries, had a great time, and yeah, crashed there that night. That was easy, and then, yeah, headed to the airport, and I got to Vegas last night, and yeah, pretty much just kicked it for the night. Woke up today, lost most of my money right up front. That was smart, and I'm pretty much booked in for 15 days, so I'm going to be going down to Laughlin. So I'm here, where am I staying? Planet Hollywood, to get this cruise thing for 5 days. And then I could get 5 days free in Laughlin, and they're going to give me like 50 or 60 bucks. So at this point, I could use that. And then like promo chips or something. And then Super Bowl Sunday, I'll be back in Vegas for another 5 days. And then I think I get like $60 in promo chips for staying there. So just like taking advantage of some free stuff. But also, I'm still in the swing of this writing stuff, so I figured I'd be getting a lot of that done. So that's kind of the goal here too, is just to have this free room and no distractions. As much as I've tried to pile them on, I basically, everyone I've talked to in the last like 2 weeks, I'm like, hey, you want to go to Vegas? Like everybody. Come on over, come on down. But nobody would take the bait, so maybe that's a good thing. Get a bunch of this writing done. And yeah, like I said, this morning I went down to see if I could win a little bit and basically just lost all my money that I have to play with. I've still got a little less than 100 bucks, so I'm not broke as a person. I can still eat food here and there until I figure out the next way to get money again. But yeah, that should at least last me, unless I do something stupid like blow that money, which I might, because I'm going to be surrounded by casinos for the next 2 weeks. So who knows? I will be here for the Super Bowl. I think a friend by that point will be coming through, so that could be fun. Yeah, so that's where I'm at, just making poor decisions, but having a good time. And what's next after this? Probably Phoenix or L.A., so we'll see how the next 2 weeks go, what I get done, what I don't, and what I'm feeling. I was actually thinking, besides seeing my buddy in Phoenix, I was thinking of making the next prototype of a bivy pack, which might lead to mass producing them again. But yeah, like I said, I just lost a bunch of my money, so I couldn't really afford any fabric or anything right now. So we'll see. I could change in 20 minutes. Working so much worse. Thank God I know how to hitchhike and camp and everything else. Pretty much live for free if I need to. Looks like I'm going to have to. Good times had by all. And yeah. Until the next episode, good times. I will see you down the road. I meant I need a new escape. With all my shit straight, I'll get my big break.